Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Consider This team is on the road ahead of the state elections. We're here in Penang to get a sense of the issues that are resonating on the ground. And joining me today, I have KN Lee, a state committee member from Muda Penang. Madam KN Lee, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I want to talk a little bit about Muda's decision to go into the state elections solo. So deciding not to work independently and packaging that as a pledge to be a third force to disrupt political giants on the scene. I'm curious to know what that entails. What is the vision of Muda in being a third force? And what would it consider success in this case?
We want to show the voters, actually, there are other alternatives. If they are not happy with the present parties, they can choose us, okay, as a third force. Okay, we want to bring the voice of conscience. We want to do the check and balances. There are many policy making, but one cannot see their own bad points, okay? We want to work as a third party, observing the decision-making and bring in other alternative. We want to be engaging the public and make sure we bring in, we make decision based on good principle.
Okay,
that's what we say, new politics.
Okay. So there are some critics, though, Madam Lee, that who argue that Muda's platform lacks concrete policies, lacks some specific proposals. So yes, it's great to have a hashtag politics baru, but beyond that, what are the issues that Muda plans to push forward in Penang, particularly in areas of education, healthcare, public transport? What is Muda's vision for Penang?
Oh, I have many visions for Penang. Okay, public transport. I agree. Federal is giving us the funding for the LRT. But we don't have the ridership. We don't have enough ridership. So can we maintain the LRT in the long term? The second point is, will LRT solve the problem of the traffic jam? I guarantee you it won't. Because Penang people still like to go on the motorbike, they go on their motor cars, they go everywhere. Why should they be riding on the LRT? At the end of the day, I would say the parties that will enjoy the LRT are the tourists coming in through the airport, riding into Georgetown. But it will not solve our traffic jam on the ground. That presently, our industrial area are very jammed, especially at peak hours. How are we going to resolve that? So is there any connection between all this jam-packed area to the LRT? No. The LRT is running through the airport and go to the PSI. So it would not resolve anything.
Okay.
I would want to suggest to say that we look at BRT. BRP means the whole range of buses that go in one road. Of course, the argument, there are two arguments. The roads are too narrow. There are too many traffic lights. To me, all this could be overcome. If you say the roads are too narrow, we can have very slim BRT that run through Penang. You know, I even suggested, when I was a councillor, I even suggested that we have EV tut-tut. EV tut-tut means one battery run ahead and run with a group of the tut-tut and takes all the tourists into the Georgetown. That would not jam the Georgetown. So we have to control the hours that certain traffic can go in. That is the only way to solve the traffic jam.
Okay. So clearly there's been a lot of thinking behind some of the issues of public transport in Penang. And I think traffic woes seems to be one of the main grouses of Penangites. How are you getting a sense of what Penangites want, what Penang voters are looking for? And I say this beyond just the confines of the island, so Penang also including the mainland. What are the issues that are resonating with Penang voters, and are they the same issues that are being discussed at a state legislative level?
In fact, I find if the state legislative is being dominated by one party or one coalition, that might not much of debating, because a lot of decision making are all pre-agreed. There's nothing to debate about because it's all agreed at the table. That's the reason why we want to be the third force. Mm. We want to be the party that bring all this issue to the forefront to debate. And we want to be the party to engage the voters on the ground. Because I think the town hall sessions are too few. Even the NGOs are asking they should be included in the decision making. We don't. For example, recently, there's a local plan being tabled. But we were not engaged until we saw the final rollout, the draft, and we said, alamak, so many amendments
have to be done. I understand. So it has to be that consultation is done at an earlier level,
yes,
and more authentic as opposed to just ticking a box, right?
Yes.
Why did you decide to join MUDA? I'm just wondering because MUDA seems to be a youth-centric party. It appeals to a lot of young people, and it's quite contemporary in its views of politics. What made you decide that this new party was the platform you wanted to affect change through?
The young ones are our futures. If we want to effect change, we have to change the young one. Okay? We are going out. But we have to change the young one. The important thing is, we don't have to be young to help the young one. Because the senior people like us, we have the experience. We have walked through the young generation. And we know what they need. So with our experience, we can actually, hopefully, guide them or work together with them to change Malaysia. We have to.
But realistically speaking, the nature of Malaysian politics is one that we cannot deny. I'm quite curious to know how, in the spirit of politics baru of MUDA and its core principles, how would MUDA plan to challenge the establishment, provide that check and balance that you talked about, while also navigating the complexities of governance, of effectively addressing a diverse population, but staying true to the core principles of the party?
We are not challenging. We want to work together. That is the important point. Mm. We are not going in to take over the government. No, not at all. We are going in to work with them, to bring in a third voice. Hopefully, we, with our data, our principle, our engagement with the public, we can make certain issues being highlighted and bring in, bring in voice of conscience to say that, look, this thing must be done this way. Could you have a look at this way? Mm. I think this is important.
Do you get a sense that there is public appetite for politik baru?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
No, I have gone to the public, okay? I've gone to many hawker centres. The similar answer will come. A lot of people say, we must give chance to the young people.
Okay.
Okay? I think we have come to a stage where we need the change. And I grew up in a Malay kampung. Okay? The reason why I joined politics, very simple. I want to find my old memories in the Malay kampung. My kampung, 4 Chinese family, 1 Indian family, all Malays. We always live in harmony. Every morning, I have buah air jambu gantung on my pagar. And my rambutan I harvest, we'll give it to the neighbor. And the most important point is, my family is the only one have a black and white TV. Between 4 to 6, the whole kampung will come. Dengan bangku sendiri.
Okay.
They were duduk and we were watching P. Ramlee and Hindustan show. And today, you will not see that happening.
So what you're trying to say is that you want to go back to the days of true
Malaysia.
Social cohesion.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Through MUDA, you see this happening?
possible because we always stress on multiracial. Okay? Somebody mentioned that multiracial is against constitution. It's our president that stood up clearly to say, no, the non-Malays are here. We are born here. We were brought up here. We have our education here. Most likely we're going to die here. I am going to die here.
Are you not seeing social cohesion in Penang anymore?
It's getting less. Not so as my good days when I was a childhood. We must go back. I still remember my neighbor, Mahani, in his baju kebaya and the selendang. So feminine. Now I look around, I have Malay stuff. I want the harmony.
Okay, all right. So if I may go back to the future of the party. There are commentators who say that because MUDA is such a young party, you know, its track record is quite limited in what it can, how it has done in an election. And there's concern that its popularity may wane over time, particularly because novelty of a new party might fade, personalities will come and go. So how is the party thinking about sustaining that momentum, about ensuring that there is a sufficient talent pool within the party and that the support is unwavering even throughout election cycles and big personalities in the party?
Rome not built overnight. That is definitely okay. We need one personality to bring up the whole party. Never discount a young party. In other countries like Thailand, a young party suddenly broom up and won the election.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot deny that we always have these opportunities. In fact, in the other more dominant political parties in Malaysia, there's also always one important spokesman for the party. The same applies to MUDA. I think voters should give MUDA an opportunity. Having been given the opportunities, we will groom the younger generation and the younger generation. If you say that, it's more important that they should vote MUDA this round and vote a few of us in so that we can keep the generation running. You know, if this round we do not get any seat, your prediction will apply. But if we win whatever seat, one or two seats, we work with the governing government. But we will continue to groom the younger one, and the younger one, they are all coming.
Madam Kiam Lee, thank you so much for speaking with me on the show. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Ahead of the state elections, the Consider This team is on the road. We are in Penang today in Seberang Perai. We're trying to get a sense of what issues are being talked about ahead of the state elections, what's resonating with voters. Today, my guest is Izhar Shah Arif Shah, who is the Pematang Pau Chief for Armada, which is the National Men's Youth Wing for Bersatu. Izhar, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Melissa.
Before we look ahead to the state elections, I'm wondering whether we could get some of your insights into what you think happened in GE15. Pematang Pau is a Anwar Ibrahim stronghold.
Okay.
It's very tightly linked to him and his family.
Yeah.
But it was such a big coup for Perikatan Nasional to get Pematang Pau. And I'm quite curious to know what you believe to be some of the reasons as to why voters opted for a shift.
Okay. First of all, let me say thanks to Ashrawani and Melissa for giving me this opportunity to be here. Past GE15, as for Pematang Pau, basically, personally, I believe that to be in politics is to serve. Okay? They shouldn't be rhetorical remarks, rhetorical speeches only. should be to serve. Whoever is the MP, whoever is elected or chosen by the people, is to serve the people. And mainly why Pematang Pau won by Perikatan Nasional is because Ustaz Fawaz, YB Ustaz Fawaz now, at that time, we conveyed him, and he is really a figure that is locally available, and he got the capabilities to serve, and he got the experience to serve, even though his opponent at that time is Nuruizah Anwar.
Mm.
So, as much as I don't want to say it too loudly, that Nuruizah did her work.
Well, you mean in the minds of voters, that was the presence of the MP on the ground.
It is not enough.
What are the considerations of voters, you reckon, this time around? Because GE15 analysis, voting patterns, all of that can be thrown out the window now.
Yeah.
It's a fresh new ball game. What do you think voters are going to be thinking about as they head to cast their ballots in the state elections?
Still the same. The people would like to want their representative to available to be present when they are in need. As much what my father really taught me when he was the state assemblyman, the principles to be in politics is really to purely serve and help those who are in need. And if we are in politics, it's just to play politics. It is pure wrong. It is irresponsible. And I could say that whoever be in politics without the principles to serve, they could lose the election.
Voters can tell the difference?
Can. Voters can really tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Especially now, we need to really tell to the people what we are doing. If we didn't tell also, people can really feel that we are here all the time.
What is Perikatan Nasional's narrative going into this
state
campaign
election
period? Yeah.
Of course, serving. On the national level, of course, we would like to offer integrity, more stable coalition, because we are a very stable coalition, despite, as we can see now, the current federal government coalition, despite they are saying they are stable, but the first week of when the government is formed, they couldn't get their manifestos on the table to get it done. They couldn't discuss that to get it done. And Perikatan Nasional, I believe, is really offering to really serve the people. That is the main principle.
In the past, is it 7-8 months now that Perikatan Nasional was the opposition?
Yeah.
What can voters use as evidence that Perikatan Nasional has served its duty as a strong and vocal opposition, but with concrete alternatives to the federal government?
Understood. During our times, when Tan Sri Muhyiddin was the Prime Minister, we really served. We really served. We really helped those who are in need, especially when Tan Sri announced all the package stimulus, economic stimulus, to help the people. And that is what the basis and the foundation of Perikatan Nasional, for us to care to the people, no matter what issues they are. And that is why, although that is not a popular choice, but when we talk about KWSP, for instance, EPF, withdrawal, EPF withdrawals, right? That are the issues that are very concerning to the people. They are in need of cash injection, and that is the only way that the government can help them as soon as possible.
And has Perikatan Nasional considered the reasons as to why so many people in decision-making positions are against the KWSP withdrawals, the EPF withdrawals?
Of course.
Have you considered the trade-offs?
Of course, but like I said, whatever the situations are, the economic directions and whatever it is, people is the priority. People is priority. So if the people really need the help, government must find a way to help.
As head of Armada, so that's youth wing.
Yes.
For Bersatu, for Pematang Pau. specifically young people, because again, so much of this these elections hinges on the participation and the spirit of young people to want to cast their ballot. Are young people that you're speaking to excited to participate in these elections, or is there what has been famously talked about, voter apathy among young people, political fatigue? What are you sensing?
As a youth leader myself, my friends and I who are in the committee, we are responsible to engage and interact with as many youth as possible in our area. If I may, if I can share their expressions and their reactions towards the current federal government. Like I said, two of the biggest coalition is in the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, both of them offered their own manifestos. So if they are really focused to really help not just the youth, but to really help the people of Malaysia, of this country, on the first week when the government is formed, they would sit all together and find a way to fulfill all their promises. That alone will not just really help the people, but will affect the youth also with their promises to the policies that they want to implement.
Mm.
Therefore, to answer your question, whether the youth is still excited to vote, I think, of course, they are. Surely they are. And I wouldn't say, and I can say this, I think they won't vote for the current coalition government.
Okay, so if there are, if you, you as you claim, higher youth participation in these elections would be to the benefit of Perikatan Nasional, then what are you doing to encourage young people, especially youth who have migrated out and working in the cities, to come back, take time out from and pay for the travel back to cast their ballot? What are you doing to encourage them?
Okay, first of all, of course, online campaigning, to tell them that every each of their votes is really important, not just to select or to elect, to choose the representative in their own area. Because as we know, of course, when you choose a representative for the state election, it won't affect the position of the federal government. But it will send a big message towards the federal government that the voters are not happy with your current performance. And that is what we are campaigning about.
Okay.
Come back. If you are not happy with the current government, come back and cast a vote.
What if... So you talked about the performance of the federal government, but what about the performance of the state government, Penang specifically?
Okay.
If Perikatan Nasional were to win more seats in the state assembly, what policies will you be pushing for? What would you be? What role are you looking to play to improve governance in Penang?
Okay. Actually, I'm not in a position to recommend a policy, but my personal views on what Perikatan should offer. Actually, academic upskilling, education upskilling, you know, especially for the youth. Because I think the current state government much focused on the bigger projects, mega projects, much focused on the infrastructure, but did not give a little bit of focus towards youth upskilling and to enhance their skills, to equip them for their future.
For higher paying jobs as well, right? Has Perikatan Nasional discussed its position on the contentious Penang South Islands
Of course,
project?
Of course.
What is the position?
We oppose it. We oppose it. Even though then the Prime Minister announced to give a big budget to build the LRT, we think that we think that the island shouldn't be done.
The main island.
Right?
There have been criticism levied to the state government for having very island-centric focused development, which in my recent interview with the chief minister, he has denied, saying that it is a false perception because there are many industrial parks in Seberang Perai. What is your take on that? How would you respond to his assertion that actually there is a perception that development is not equal, but it's factually not true?
Okay. I understand why he is stating his point there. But like I said just now, the focus of a government is not only to implement mega infrastructures. It's not only to implement this area to be an industrial area. These are the community levels of advancement that the government should take a look at. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the youth must know that the government is really care for them. They are the facilities that the youth can engage in to upskill their skills, to enhance their skills. And if we say that the Chief Minister did not agree with the mainland is not is developing enough, I can say that I'm agree to disagree.
Okay, so I don't think that
so.
There is equal development.
No. Yeah.
Does it still feel, what is behind the economic disparity?
Quite big.
But what do you think is behind it?
I think it's because all the administration office is the mainland. If they are serious to develop the mainland, they should have maybe half of the Komta office come to mainland. Mm. Half of it. Maybe.
Prioritize the mainland.
Prioritize, yeah.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching. Good night.